outside your window is not great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is incredible. That's right. We made it. We're back and we're on episode 6. I'm your co-host, just Sasha. But of course, I'm joined by a member of my wedding party, even though I'm already married, but it's fine. Just Jason. Welcome. Welcome.
Sasha, I am happy to be a part of your wedding party, but only if I get to walk down the aisle with Jonathan. I have no issue walking with Jonathan. He looked like a cute little doggy, and I would be happy to accompany him or her.
Yes. You know, Jonathan was so cute. I'm just, as a human that's afraid of dogs, but thinks dogs are so cute, I will say that it was an interesting choice, and that dog, I think, just needed its own therapy dog.
Yeah, I did like they had to resuscitate him that morning because, you know, he's in such bad shape.
Yeah, so that poor dog, you know, so I just, why are people doing this to their animals? Stop it. Just stop it. But we have a lot to get into before we even walk down the aisle, Jason. So how did you feel about this episode overall? Tell me everything.
Yeah, I enjoyed the episode. It was fun. I mean, I think the overall tone of She-Hulk is fun, if not like laugh out loud funny, is the tone I get from She-Hulk. A lot of fun stuff happened here. I think, you know, I know in our Discord, a lot of people were kind of bummed that we got teased with Daredevil last week, but no Daredevil in this episode at all. No super suit at all. And we did get confirmed that she got a super suit in this episode. Mm-hmm. So people were a little bummed that we didn't see either of those things that seemed to be promised last episode.
Yeah, I feel like I was most disappointed by this episode, not by anything particular, but I think because of the overall arc of Jen, where you and I, we have said this from episode 1, but it's very much giving the story outside of Jen is way more interesting, and Jen herself isn't. And yeah. I'm just kind of sad by that because, right, Nikki, badass character, Mallory, amazing. Actually, the whole lawyer, divorce, immortal, right, like all of that, amazing. The wedding stuff, Titania, I loved it. But is Jen this almost sulky? Is that the right word in the comics?
No, like the Jen in the comics is like vivacious, she's like confident, and she's, you know, funny and fun, this party animal, as She-Hulk herself. I think the issue with Jen right now is that we're seeing a lot of Jen and not as much She-Hulk. You know, this episode, as the episode is titled, Just Jen, we see a majority of Jen. But, you know, Jen is still just kind of, she's always bummed a little bit. She's not the fun party animal that the She-Hulk of the comics is.
That's exactly it for me. And again, I'm not 100% mad at it. I still enjoyed the episode and I'm enjoying the series, but I think we're at episode 6 of 9, and I want my main character to have more agency and for things to not just happen to her, you know, like there's a saying we say at my work all the time, but like, I am not the storm. I am of the storm. And it's almost like I want the opposite, where I want her to be the storm and not just of the storm, where, oh, everything's happening around me and I'm just here. No, like let's make some moves.
Yeah, well, I mean, we want She-Hulk to be the star of her own show, and it does not feel that way consistently. I'll say that. It feels like they're giving a lot of better material to other people. So that's an issue. I will say that I like the show. I don't hate the show. I don't not like the show. The show is fun. The show is refreshing, especially in a Marvel, you know, universe that can sometimes be a little desolate, can be a little depressing. This is a fun side quest. Not big stakes, you know, just fun light stories. But I just want She-Hulk to be more She-Hulky, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. And not, you know, let the Lulus of the world literally bum her out and not let her be She-Hulk.
Yeah, like you said, we're in episode 6 of 9, and I just don't feel a lot of progression with the character. feels like we're still kind of in the same spot we were in episode one. She, you know, she's incrementally becoming more comfortable with being She-Hulk. Like, we see her enter the wedding as She-Hulk here in this episode. So she's a little more confident, but she's not in a space where she is really enjoying her life as She-Hulk.
Yeah, that's exactly it, I think, for me. And I also, maybe we can start the episode, but like I said, I'm still watching. I still love it. But with Ms. Marvel too, where I was like, where's the marveling? Right? Like, when will we marvel? That's what I'm feeling here as well. But it's fine, I guess. I'll allow it, because it overall was hilarious still. I think Ched is becoming a hilarious little like bump that we get in the episode. Yeah. And I love it. So overall, still worth watching, everyone. I'm not thrown in the towel. I'm just saying I need She-Hulk to She-Hulk. Okay.
Yeah. And I think I'm also bumping into, I mentioned it last episode, I'm bumping into the fact these episodes are 30 minutes, you know, less with credits. And it's like, I need more. I would like more. I feel like the show needs more. The episodes need more breathing room, because everything feels short and a little too cut off. I don't know why we're limiting ourselves to 30 minutes when we're on a platform that can handle more than 30 minutes. We're not on a conventional TV network where we need to stay within a 30 minute time slot. I would like some more time, please.
Exactly. So we've again been talking about that for a while, where we just need more time. We need our girl to just be more. So it's fine. I think we just needed to get that out of the way as we get into the episode. So the episode starts with a recap where it's a lot about blood. So, you know, I think that might be important, Jason.
Episode. I mean, I remember saying in that first episode where Smart Hulk is like making a point of being like, we have to destroy this blood, because if this blood gets in the wrong hands, it could be a problem. And so I was like, oh, yes, that blood's going to come in. Jen's blood is going to come into play at some point in the series. And it looks like that is coming to fruition here.
Very much that. So, but before we even get to blood, we're getting the regular, again, dating or being a woman in your 30s montage. That's what the show is. And that's why I think I personally connect to it more. So Jen is a bridesmaid, where we get a box and the names on it. So I immediately knew what it was. I don't know if you did.
Only because I knew that this episode took place at a wedding from previews and stuff. So, Sasha, I get the feeling from you that you are a person that attends a lot of weddings. Is that true?
I do. It's so true.
Have you ever gotten an invite box like this?
Yes. I have sent to my bridesmaids as well. But I will say mine was a little less. The shipping was more expensive because my friends live all over the country. But I definitely made one of those boxes, and I've got them. You can go to Etsy and just type bridesmaid boxes. So that one looked pretty expensive, I have to say, with the pop-up glitter and everything. But
listen, I did think it was fun that it just kept going, like the glitter pops out and then other stuff comes out of the box. I thought that was a really nice touch there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how those boxes are. I, as someone who's a love language is gift giving, find that stuff very fun. Does a lot of that stuff get used? No, but it's okay. It's a thought that counts. And it looks like Jen is going to be a bridesmaid at her friend Lulu's wedding. And then Nikki shows up, which again, I don't know about you, but I'm like, what happened to the suit? What happened to everything? And immediately Nikki says, you don't need your power suit or your super suit because you're going to a wedding. Yay. Da, da, da. And that's all we got of it, Jason, after spending a whole episode on outfits.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the dress that she wore to enter the party was one of Luke Jacobson's dresses. Mm-hmm. But we didn't get a whole like, oh, look at this suit. We didn't get a show off of the suits, which I think we were probably expecting. But we didn't get a whole lot. We got one suit. I don't know if the bridesmaid's dress was a Luke dress. It was probably like a dress that she just got from Lulu. I don't know. But yeah, we only got one of the dresses here. So it was a little bit of a letdown not to see more of what she got from Luke.
Yeah. And another thing, which actually we all got feedback from Ryan. Yes, Ryan pointed this out, and I very much agree, because Ryan says, you know, wait, was she just asked to be a bridesmaid right before the wedding and she's immediately packing to go to it. I agree. I very much agree.
I think it's probably some sort of time jump in between there, maybe of a week, maybe. But that does seem to be rather, you know, rather short notice. Because, I mean, I guess we're supposed to think it was sometime in between her getting the box and her packing for the trip. I'm not sure. They don't make it very clear. But yeah, it does seem to be a short notice type of thing.
Yeah, I will also say sometimes like folks will be like, oh, you're my bridesmaid. I'm adding you to the group chat and sending you save the dates and everything and just not give you maybe the gift until later. So, you know, right. Let's maybe go that way, even though the point is you ask someone to be your bridesmaid first. But it is what it is. You do you. But we also get from Jen that, you know, she's like, well, I think Lulu felt obligated to ask and I felt obligated to say yes, which truer words have not been spoken.
Now, when like I think I was under the assumption before we got to the wedding that Lulu had asked Jen to show up because Jen is She-Hulk and she wanted like to have the celebrity of She-Hulk at her wedding. But I think we come to find out that's not really the case at first. So I was a little like, I thought that's where the episode was going. Like she just asked her to be there because she is She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because immediately, right, like we get a quick wrap up of, oh, Mallory's going to handle Jen's divorce case. Great. And we get the great fourth wall. Yes, you are getting a self-contained wedding episode because, of course, it's inconvenient. That's how weddings are on a Thursday.
Yeah, I felt like Jay were talking to us like, I know you guys want to see Daredevil. I know you guys want all this other stuff, but you're going to have to wait a minute. We have a wedding to go to. Sorry.
I know. And we got a bunch of feedback about how upset people are. Agreed. Where they're teasing, they're giving us lots, and then they're giving us nothing. But just we gotta wait. Okay, there's a wedding to go to, so let's pack up, baby, because Jen shows up as She-Hulk. So I guess we're finally getting Jen being excited to be She-Hulk, like Jason, you were pointing out about the comics, and she's looking amazing in a polka dot dress, blah blah blah, which we knew. We saw this piece from the trailer. And I love that all the bridesmaids are like, oh, you really did toned up for the big day. You took that seriously.
Yeah, like, and, you know, it's a rare moment of her being super proud of being She-Hulk. So it, that, like I said, does incrementally show that she's getting more comfortable in the She-Hulk skin. You know, it was fun to have Lulu just roll up, be like, what are you doing? Like, is this kind of like, you know, a wedding guest wearing white to upstage the bride, I guess? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the Bridezilla piece where I don't agree with. I want my friends to look their absolute best. Like, don't show up to my wedding looking like a ratchet. You know what I mean? So yeah. If that means that you're going to be She-Hulk with that amazing hair, I want that. You know what I mean? Because I want my pictures to look amazing. And that will help my pictures look incredible. So weird. Lulu, you know, let's maybe be a little bit more secure, but that's just me. You know, and I love that they're all like complimenting Jen, and they're like, look at your, they literally say like, your ass looks amazing. And then Lulu goes, everyone has an ass.
Lulu is introduced as like just this kind of like bummer, like you know, downer, but she's like also a bridezilla at the same time. I wasn't that big of a fan of Lulu throughout this episode. I thought it could have been a lot better, but yeah. And we get a weird like CGI hug from Lulu to Jen. I was like, oh, there goes that weekly CGI weirdness.
Yeah, I was like, is that someone's arm painted green? Like, I don't, you know, I didn't understand what was going on, but this is one of the reasons, right? Like between Lulu and Tatiana, who are such strong negatives, right? For different reasons. Titania, I said Tatiana. Titania, here I am. Who are such negatives for, you know, for Jen. I have to say that's where I feel like Jen, not She-Hulk, gets lost because of how overpowering two negatives can be.
Right. She's facing a lot of obstacles in this wedding that she's going to here.
Yeah. And I'm just like, stand up, girl. No, we can't do this. But we get, again, a fourth wall break because Jen goes, listen, this is the first time I didn't want to show up as just Jen. And then here is, you know, I have to look up Easter eggs. So I have to say, because after her just Jen comment, it's like insult to injury because everyone else has a groomsman or has a partner. They're walking down the aisle, but Jen. And I can't. Okay. Stop this, Lulu. And she has Jonathan, who I think this was a on purpose effort of no one telling her Jonathan's species.
Well, yeah. I mean, they just say at first, like, oh, yeah, you're going to walk down the aisle with Jonathan. It's like, okay. I mean, I think probably we as an audience know something's going to be up with Jonathan because Jonathan's not there at the moment. So we know something's going to be up with Jonathan. I didn't know Jonathan was going to be a dog. But, you know, it was like, okay, what's Jonathan going to be? That was a fun little thing for me to think about for a minute before we found out who or what Jonathan was.
Yeah. And again, this is like highly conspiracy moment where they, you know, they say the groomsman's name is Jackson, Sam, and Mark. And according to my Easter egg sources, people are saying that, oh, is Jackson Norris, a.k.a. Nighthawk, Sam, who's the leader. And we know is going to show up in Captain America 4 because he was at D23. And then Sam Wilson, again, Captain America, and Mark for Mark Ruffalo. I thought it was interesting.
That's interesting. Maybe a little bit of a stretch, but that's very much theory stretch. To think. Very maybe they're named much. After those people in the writer's room. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I think. Like, I don't think it's She-Hulk. I think the writer's room is having fun. And of course, this is the time where we get the opening credits of just Jen.
I like how they're messing with the opening credits now. Like, because, you know, last week was She-Hulk by Titania, and this week is just Jen. I hope they kind of continue that trend. It's a fun little thing to notice.
Yeah, and I think episode 2, right, was Attorney for Hire. So I appreciate it. This is the kind of stuff I like in my TV shows, especially for a She-Hulk, right, that we're saying is going to be the comedy, the et cetera, et cetera. So I like it. I like it. And yes, everyone loves Jonathan, y'all. So let's just go figure out why he's not at the rehearsal. So should we do, because there's a good amount of jumping around, Jason, but our A and yeah. B plot is very much like
away. Very separate.
Yeah.
So yeah, do you think we can stay at the wedding and then go on to the law firm after that. I think we can tackle each storyline together.
Perfect. I like it. So then let's get to, okay. We are waiting on Jonathan, but then we are now after the rehearsal, it looks like, because Lulu and Jen are catching up, blah, blah, blah. And Jen is like, I'm the head of a department at a law firm, which I, again, think it's so badass. But of course, Jason, Lulu goes, no. Are you dating a boy? I need to know about boys.
Lulu sucks, man. Lulu is awful. And this whole wedding was like really weird, jumping around within the wedding. I was like, okay, so where are we within the wedding, like festivities? Like I never got where we were. I feel like the whole wedding went by. We never saw any of the wedding later. It was a really weird cutting of where we were within the
wedding. Yeah. So I'm assuming just because I have not been to a lot of like non-Indian or ethnic weddings, or I've not been in a lot of, I've only been in Indian or Ethiopian weddings, actually. So I don't know, but I'm assuming this is like after the rehearsal dinner, like a reception.
Yeah, basically. Like a cocktail thing or something.
Yes. So yeah, like a cocktail is an hour. I don't know. But I just love that she says, oh, no, you don't have a man. I'm sorry. You still have a little bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another like kind of wink and a nod to like kind of these friendships where these, you know, your friends make you feel bad because you don't have, because as if a relationship is all that matters in life, like your other accomplishments don't matter. But like it's all that matters is who you're with.
Yeah. And here is my PSA, right? If you have friends like this, you don't have any friends at all. Because right. I am for sure that friend that wants to know who you're dating / will try to like set you up. But when you tell me about work, I'm locked in. I was like, oh, do you have a professional coach? How do you do this? How do you make things happen? So, you know, get you a friend that can do both, because whatever's important to you is what your friend should be mirroring, you know, back to you. And if you and your friends only talk about boys and nothing else, or, you know, your partners in general, maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe Melissa, there's more.
All that we need to know about Lulu was summed up in the fact that she overhears people talking about Team Jacob or Team Edward. And she rushes over to like give her thoughts and talk about how she dated both actors. That gives you all you need to know about Lulu and how trash she is.
Period.
She's still hung up. She's still hung up on the Twilight debate.
When we're Harry Potter stans, I can't do it. Okay, but yeah, just bless Lulu's heart, I will say.
Yeah.
And while all of this is happening, Titania walks in, and I was like, "What?" So she says, "Okay, Jason, this is where I need to know what your thought was." She said she's dating a friend of the groom. Okay, and I had to pause because I was taking notes. Who did you think the friend of the groom was, or did you have any thoughts?
I don't think he's supposed to be anybody. I think he's just like, he was just some nerd that Titania found. Sorry,
before we see who the nerd is, let me rephrase.
Oh, who do we think it was going to be somebody? I thought it might have been Todd.
Yeah, I thought it was Todd or Jonathan. So I was like, oh, because again, in my rom-com heart, was like, she's going to, you know, walk down the aisle with Jonathan and they're going to fall in love. And that's going to be like someone she dates.
And she's going to steal Jonathan away from Titania. Yeah.
Yes.
That would have been fun. Yeah, I thought at first, like, we were going to pan over to Todd, maybe. But, yeah, it was just some random guy.
Yeah, it didn't matter. She's using him was the point, unfortunately. And Lulu is excited because Titania has so many businesses. So why the Titania's 5,000 plus businesses were okay, but not Jen's?
I don't know. I think. You know, they see influencer culture makes Titania a lot more like appealing to Lulu. And I don't even think Titania needed to infiltrate the wedding. I think she could just call Lulu, like, can I come to your wedding, Lulu? But yes, of course, you're Titania. That was a fun, like, you know, again, another like kind of a bash to Jen. Like, I don't care about you, Jen, but here's Titania. I love Titania because she is an influencer on, you know, Instagram or Twitter or whatever.
Exactly. And then we get gaslighting central because Jen basically calls out what Titania is doing. And then even Lulu starts gaslighting. I just couldn't. And then I love that Titania says, I'm here to celebrate Lulu and her groom, because, you know, she don't know the groom's name.
Yeah, not at all. She barely even knows Lulu's name.
I'm surprised she didn't say her wedding. So it's just I can't with this. This is not the friends you have. I'm just in shambles for Jen. But Jen walks away. Okay. She says, I need a break. Her dress has now become a long wine dress instead of, you know, the short, cute polka dot that it was. It looks a mess now. And then Josh shows up. This really hot stranger.
All right. So what did you think when you saw Josh walk up?
I have a controversial take, but like, this is not against you.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Any boy with a J name.
Oh, I feel shots fired coming already.
Yeah, you're married. Okay, so we take you out because you're married. You have your stuff together. We'll let it be. But like, especially the Joshes. Not again, Josh Wiggler, we know. But listen, I know, but I'm telling you, every woman I talked to, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, but like, from the sample size that I have, that my friends have, J names, just be careful, ladies.
Listen, all you J named guys out there, that's funsize_04 at Twitter, send all of your hate there, not at me. I do not subscribe to this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know this is a controversial take. Don't come for me. But this time, I don't got the time. But I can tell you my stories later on if you want to know. And guess what? They all start with J names. So that's all I'm saying.
I feel like this is more slander to Jarrett from Love is Blind as well.
Oh, see? Oh, my God. I forgot about him. Here you go, Jason. The proof is in the pudding, people.
Okay, so
anyway,
my thought when Josh came up. Not, I did not describe to the J name theory, because that I think that's bunk, because I am a J name.
Yeah, I was like, you don't have internalized oppression for that.
Yes, exactly. So I mean, my red flags went up immediately when Josh came over and started flirting like very heavily with Jen. I was like, why is he just randomly running up to Jen and coming up to flirt with her like hardcore, like overly hardcore? Like, he didn't ask anything else about her before he started flirting with her. He just started like spitting game immediately. I was like, oh, this Josh is not a good guy. This is not our Josh. This is not Josh Wiggler. This is bad Josh.
Yes.
This is anti-Josh. So I was like, this is really suspicious. And throughout the whole episode, I was like, I don't trust you, Josh. I don't trust you at all.
Very much that. And Josh Glenn, we know, is hate monger. So questions that maybe, but this Josh Glenn is a person of color, so maybe it's not necessarily hate monger, but with what is it, intelligentsia coming up, question mark, you know, conspiracy sites popping up. Just listen, this is again my long stretch for all of you. But of course, right as they're about to get into it, get flirting, Miss Bridezilla shows up and says, Jen, can I get your help? Basically being the help, because the staff quit.
Because of how she treated them.
Girl. Like, I read this somewhere. I'm sorry if it was in the Discord and I'm not crediting you or somewhere else. But I just, and I unfortunately not 100% subscribe to it, but do a little, where they said this show is doing everything they can to make me hate Jen.
To make you hate Jen?
Yeah. And I'm just like, girl, just stand up. You know what I mean? Like, I just, like I said, I just feel like she should be more bossy. Not bossy, yeah. Assertive.
Yeah. I mean, she's still being a wallflower at this point, you know, 6 episodes in. It's a thing. It's an issue.
Yes. But I think before we go any further, I think it's time for us to take a little break and we will come right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So, everyone, now that, you know, we're settling into the wedding a little bit, and we're getting excited. The wedding's almost over. The wedding is over. Okay, people. It's over. Because now we're at reception time. And then we're maybe excited because, oh, no, wait. Pre-wedding. Not me forgetting the wrinkled shirt. Oh, I wanted to
block you almost it, y'all. Getting, not you almost not talking about Jonathan.
Sorry.
His grand entrance.
Another J name, but this is a good one. The exception to the rule. But yes, the groomsmen were playing Mario Kart, everyone. So their shirts are wrinkled. And guess who needs to iron them? The help, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if this like speaks to like Lulu's previous experiences with Jen, like growing up. Like, did she always treat Jen like this, like in the past? Like, and she just walked all over her, you know, in their past, and she just thinks she can do all this stuff. And Jen's still not fighting back against any of this.
Yeah, and like I said, just what should I show up? You know, because I could yell at these girls, no problem. And I have seen at a few weddings where the groomsmen really do get away with doing nothing and the bridesmaids really have to work super hard, like waking up at 6 a.m., going to go pick up the grooms, getting your pictures done, makeup, hair, and then going to go pick up the groomsmen, all of this stuff. So it's that piece. It might have felt unreal, but I've definitely seen the groomsmen getting off too easy.
So, I can see that.
Just, you know, I wanted to name it. But then we get the grand entrance of the cutest groomsman, groom's dog, bride's dog, Jonathan.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, Jonathan was nice and fun. I mean, they presented it as like a bad thing. I was like, that's fine. I'd rather walk down the aisle Jonathan than these losers playing Mario Kart all night.
Right? I was like, what's the issue? You get out of a man that can't iron his own shirt? Yeah, win-win for me. Unless I think I heard, like, is he leaking? So maybe sucks that he pees on your dress, because I do think the dress was cute. Not my shade of pink, but my bridesmaids, I think, also wore that shade of pink. So who am I to talk? But I don't know. I didn't think it was fair that she didn't know Jonathan was a damn dog.
Of course.
Besides that, I love Jonathan. Want to make that clear. All right. And now it's reception time. Sorry. I blocked it out of my memory, everyone. Because it's now DJ in Cheddable Hulk, because yes, Ched is the DJ at the wedding.
You know, they keep like inserting Ched into the story a little bit, but not letting him do a whole lot. I was like, he's supposed to be like the ultimate like comedic fodder, but he's not really doing much. You know, gets to scream wedding fight later, but he didn't do much.
Which we remember, which equals that the character is funny enough for us to want him more, you know what? Yeah. I mean, so I agree with you, because last week I was like, maybe, but this week I'm in it with you, Jason, when it comes to that. And Jen's dress just looks like so bad. It's so loose, because I think it's for She-Hulk, it's not for her.
Yeah.
Just sad. And then she's like, okay, this is mess, it's time for me to hit up the cash bar. Hit up the bar. All right, Jason, it's a cash bar.
Now, I'm not a big wedding goer person, but I mean, I would be bummed if I found out I had to buy all these drinks too.
Yeah, I will say, not that I think that any guest should be entitled, right, to receive anything. And I like to give, you know, a nice cash gift. So in reciprocity, maybe you could just supply me with alcohol. And I'm not even that much of a drinker, actually. But I just think, off of principle, the bar should be free.
Yeah, I mean, that I feel like that's usually any a welcome present to your guests, is to have it like a free bar. I mean, it doesn't have to be like stocked and packed with every single thing.
No.
But, you know, just don't make a guest pay for stuff at your wedding. That's weird.
Exactly. And again, I don't mean to be like classist or elitist, but I also think that like it's looked like a small wedding. So yeah. I'm just saying, I think the bar should be free. That's all I'm saying.
When we sped to the like reception, were you like, I'm kind of bummed we didn't see any of the wedding. We never saw the groom. What did you think of that? Like, did you think
we didn't even get his name?
Nothing. Like, I would like to see Jen walk down the aisle with Jonathan, maybe some dirty looks from Titania while Jen was walking down the aisle, something.
Yeah. And this is, again, going to like, if we would have had the full 30 minutes, even, right? Let's say it was a 40 minute episode, quote unquote, with 30, 35 minutes of content, then maybe we get the wedding, because Jonathan being included as a dog and then us not seeing him walk down the aisle.
Jen awkwardly like hold him or awkwardly try to get him to walk with her down the aisle. I think it was a missed opportunity to like have some like comedy there.
And I think Titania could have gotten a jab in here. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. For her, because it's almost like we almost saw everything that led her to that much drinking, but we didn't actually.
Right.
Up until this point, I think. But it's fine, because it's cash bar time. And my girl's an attorney. My girl's the head of the department. So, you know, she's fine with those $5 drinks. So she's coming in and she's like, give it all to me. And she's now drunk, because remember, Jen is only 5'3". So it's bad. She's now bad.
She should have like snuck away and like turned into She-Hulk to down those drinks or something.
Yeah, but remember when she turns back to Jen, she's drunk anyway.
Oh, it gets her when she turns back. Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's not worth it. And then she's sloshed by this point. And then she's sitting down and Josh is trying to make conversations about how he likes her, blah, blah, blah. And she's just word vomiting. Emphasis on word for now. because she's, you know, excited. She wanted to come to a wedding, you know, show that she's doing well, even if she doesn't have a man, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, and she feels like everyone knows that She-Hulk is amazing. And I wanted to be amazing tonight, which I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, then Josh is like, I think you're great as Jen. I was like, you don't even know Jen. You don't even know who Jen is. You just met her. Like, I don't trust Josh whatsoever.
I know. Weddings, I guess, do that to people. I don't know. It was weird.
And I did like that she, before the little Josh interaction, she tried to call Bruce. Like, I guess we want to check in with Bruce because she hasn't talked to him in a while. Because, I mean, last time we saw Bruce, he was going off into space. So I guess we're supposed to, like, still wonder where Bruce is.
Like, we aren't eagle-eyed Marvel fans, but it look, yeah, she says it's been years, months, days, confusion, and bless her heart. Like, I don't know why they're doing this to Bruce. Like, I don't think there's a reason to do, you know, that I think Bruce isn't that cousin. We've already seen it, so just interesting choice. I'll leave it there. And then we keep moving forward. Josh is very, you know, about her. And he says, I like you for who you are. And she goes, oh, here it is. It's coming. Because even I was like, this is too cringe. And I'm a romance connoisseur, but this was cringe. And she runs and vomits.
I thought she was going to Hulk out for some reason. She's like, oh, here it comes. She's like about to like Hulk out.
Yeah, same.
But she runs outside and vomits instead.
I didn't know. I was like, oh, what made you Hulk out? But I understand, you know, you do you, girl. And then, you know, they'll answer it for us. But no, she just vomits. And Josh doesn't even come to, like, look, check up on her.
Yeah. He lets her go outside and vomit alone.
See? It's the name. And then T comes, you know, Titania's here. And just throws Jen.
This was fun. This was she comes in, punches her, kicks her across the courtyard. I was like, damn. I was wondering like, how did Jen take that punch in her, you know, non-She-Hulk form?
That was gonna be my question to you, because I didn't understand how, again, and because Titania is pretty tall, right? Like when she stands with the Hulk, when she stands with She-Hulk, they, not that they're looking eye to eye, but she's tall. Mm-hmm. And she obviously has superhuman powers. So what the hell? Like Jen in her Jen form is pretty badass. I don't know. But we also get I told you it wasn't over.
Yeah, Jen's like, oh, I knew you were here for me. She's like, yeah, of course I was here for you. Like, I was lying. Like, duh.
Yeah, it's like, come on. The plot is not that, like, that complicated. And then she gets pushed around a little, I feel. Like, it isn't just one punch. And Titania's just pissed. And this is where we get a real moment, because she's mad that Jen gets, you know, everyone's attention and everything. But looks like Jen doesn't even want it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is a moment for Titania. Like, we get some character development from mm-hmm. Titania. Even this is the tiniest smidge of character development from a character we've gotten zero development from. That's something that also some criticism I have to the show.
Yes.
We've got no background for Titania. We have no idea how she got her powers, no idea about, like, her origin, her background, anything. But she's here showing that she's kind of jealous of Jen, I guess. But I don't know if that really makes any sense, since Titania is like a celebrity and she already gets a whole lot of attention anyway.
And definitely has more, not superpower, but clout power.
Yeah.
Than Jen. So I don't understand. I think maybe it's because she has to work hard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, She-Hulk is just now a celebrity because she can easily Hulk in and out, but Titania behind the scenes does a lot of work. It may look easy, but being an influencer is not easy.
Which I do agree. I think it's not the work I do, but, you know, I think it's hard.
She had to build her brand, Sasha.
It's not easy.
Jen just got her brand given to her, basically.
Which is, again, my biggest criticism. It's like things are just happening around Jen. So I get you, Titania, here. And finally, did you think Jen feels bad? So she turns into the Hulk?
She's like, fine, I will agree to fight you right now. And she, you know, just the fact that she tries and she's too drunk to do it at first.
Oh, I loved it.
And then she, I thought it was interesting that they didn't show the actual transformation. We just panned back to her. She is She-Hulk. I was like, do they not have enough money to show us her actually transforming?
100% they don't.
Yeah. We don't have that in the budget.
They said we give you a leg and that's it. And I just love that she forgets how to like that. I don't know why I find that so funny, but she's so drunk that she's like, how does that happen again? Which is so unfortunate. And I'm sure Bruce is very jealous that she literally can be in distress, being thrown around and still have control over the Hulk.
Of course. I thought with what Tatiana Maslany was given, which we've talked about isn't a lot, she does really well with these scenes to make us like both kind of feel bad for her and kind of relate with her. And, you know, she plays drunk very well.
Yes, exactly. That part, because they're finally into She-Hulk form. Her dress looks supreme, hair on point, everything's amazing. And now they're Jen just like puts her foot down, literally, and starts like a mini earthquake. And then they start to fight. I don't even though, you know, Ched says it's a fight, I feel like it's a little bit of a shoving here and there. And then,
I mean,
what do you think? Like, am I crazy?
I enjoyed the start. I mean,
yes.
Like, Jen, like, yeets Titania into the, like, reception.
Yeah.
She gives her a really nice punch. I was like, damn, that's actually pretty impressive.
Right.
Like, I enjoyed that. And then, like, comedy bit, Titania slips and, you know, knocks her teeth out. I was like, oh, that, and then she runs out. I'm like, that's it. That was kind of weak.
Exactly. And this goes back to your theory, right? Of it not be, they're not giving us enough, or they're not going all the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is another place where if you added 2 minutes to the episode, it could have been a 30-second fight. Or even less, 20-second fight more. 20-second more. You know, like let Chet do the commentary instead of just yelling wedding fight.
Yeah, let him fight throughout the whole venue. Let him ruin the whole, like, the whole reception. Let him just tear everything up. Have his all out brawl, have this fight, and then like Lulu be really upset.
I want like that for Lulu.
I think that would have been fun. That would have been better than what we got, which was minor. But I do think I'll talk about it a little when we get near the end. Mm-hmm. I think there might be a reason why, like, Titania is embarrassed here in this fight, where Jen basically, basically embarrasses her in public, leading to maybe some more down the line.
Ooh, I'm excited. Okay. Yes, because her veneers come out, and this is the most influencer thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Because most of them, not all, but most of them do have fake teeth. In addition to everything else, I follow a few YouTubers that even were like, follow my journey to get my new teeth.
Really?
Yeah. Cardi B. I mean, but she brags about it. So I don't care. I think that's good for you. If you can afford it, fix whatever you want for yourself. But Titania says, great, I'm going to be just a sad influencer, but I will take the top layer of this cake.
So I gotta leave with something, she says, basically.
Yes, Denzel, come through. And then Jen, after that, is very apologetic because Lulu comes in. Lulu is sloshed as well. And Lulu is like, the She-Hulk is at my wedding?
Yeah, but it just rings so different than what we got when She-Hulk came to the pre-wedding reception. I was like, that doesn't match.
I mean, and I will say, right, like when people get drunk, they get a little bit of a personality transplant, but not this much.
Yeah, she like totally switches her stance. I was like, okay, this was weird, but all right.
Yeah, and Jen, you know, apologizes, but it looks like Lulu don't care. And then Jen is back to being Jen, eating the fries. The fries are hitting, and it turns out they're being watched, everyone. Josh and Jen are being watched.
Yeah. We'll get a little more into who is watching them a little later. But yeah, this is definitely the start of, I think, the main bad guy story.
Mm-hmm.
In episode 6 of 9. So a little late for me. I wish we could have gotten this a little earlier.
Yes, about damn time, right?
Yeah, for some like overarching story to kind of take place. Exactly. But yeah, it looks as if they're getting a new syringe ready to maybe hopefully handle She-Hulk's skin to get her blood finally.
Yeah, because they even had the bent needle. They have, it says, you know, gamma range. And there's a text that comes up, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But it's, you know, the next phase of the plan is ready to go. And it's by Hulk King, who is this running the same fake Reddit. So interesting. Also, remember that in the dates, right, that she went on with Toby, she says, my skin is impenetrable by anything on Earth. And then he goes, even vibranium. So is the needle made of vibranium? We shall see, everyone.
Very interesting way to leave off the episode.
Right? This feels like a good end, you know, where they're like, oh, they actually, like, I see why this is an end, why this is a cliffhanger. I like it.
Yeah. And again, we didn't get a post-credit scene, but again, we end the episode on what feels like could have been a post-credit scene.
Yes, very much that. And why are they I don't understand. Like, it could just be that, you know, it could have ended at the Nikki voicemail.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, let us run the show. Let us.
Yeah, let us handle it. We got it.
We really do.
Give us editing power. We can move stuff to where it needs to be.
We are the people's voice. But yes, I think now it's time to go to, which I found to be the more fun part of the episode.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I really enjoyed the story. This is what I kind of expected She-Hulk to be. Mm-hmm. She was like more of a case of the week dealing with some sort of super powered problem. So this was a really fun thing to feature here.
And I loved this case. It is so funny. And again, not funny, haha, but just the whole idea of it is wild as hell.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? Because turns out we're in Mallory's office and she's speaking with Craig Hollis, a.k.a. Mr. Immortal.
Oh, man. And my eyebrow raised when they said Mr. Immortal. I said, oh, I know that name. Mr. Immortal is a leader of the Great Lakes Avengers, which in comics is more of a parody of the Avengers. Like, it's this like team of bumbling superheroes that have like kind of knockoff powers. And Mr. Immortal in the comics is always trying to find a way to actually kill himself. He keeps living. He's at a certain point, like, I just want to go. I just want to die. I don't want to be here anymore. So he's constantly trying to find ways to actually kill himself in the comics. But yeah, this was really, my eyebrow raised, oh, interesting. And the guy playing Mr. Immortal, they got the perfect person playing Mr. Immortal, just in this context where he's like the sleazy kind of douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy, like, if everyone out there watched Veep, was the like ex-husband of Selena Meyer, the main character, who was just was really this kind of sleazy slime ball. So this was a perfect person to play this kind of character that they made Mr. Immortal into for the show.
Yeah, I will say again, because I wanted to look up Mr. Immortal, and it looks like he literally got his powers by trying to unalive himself. So that was funny. Yeah. I felt, and in his comics, right, that he is actually has a like lifelong partner who's also an immortal.
So, I'm sure in some iterations, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was really funny because the setup actually is that is Mr. Immortal's divorce cases.
Yeah, and this was a really fun setup and fun conceit for this character, in the show at least. So I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, and again, I wanted to just call this piece out as well before we get into Mr. Immortal's story, is what they're doing with Nikki. I loved it. Nikki is, you know, I feel like with her and Pug were getting a lot of like, oh, fun secondary characters. But here I felt Mallory literally called her to the front of the scene, you know, and instead of her sitting in the back, which I felt like was an interesting piece of what were her and Jen's partnership, right? Like, what does that look like? Does she stand back versus with Mallory, she's coming forward?
Yeah, it was interesting because, like, as you said, Mallory calls her over to the desk to sit with, like, her and the client, being Mr. Immortal. And then later she, like compliments Nikki, and Nikki seemed uncomfortable with that because, like, it didn't seem like she usually gets that from Jen. Maybe she just used to be working with Jen, and Jen doesn't compliment her a lot because they're used to each other. So I thought it was interesting, the dynamic between Mallory and Nikki. Out of Nikki's material, I'm like, see, this is the type of material you should be giving to Jen.
Yes.
To make her more like lighthearted and funny. But we're getting it from Nikki instead of Jen.
Yeah. And I felt it's sort of a badass, right? Like where you're just like, yes, Nikki, get his ass. Let's do it again.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what they're going for with Jen, where she's supposed to be the kind of demure, like, wallflower as opposed to what She-Hulk is supposed to be, but we're not really getting that in the show. Like, we're getting too much of Jen being a wallflower kind of downer. I would like her to have more personality.
Listen, we're just on loop. I know, y'all.
Yes,
yeah, it is the truth. Yeah. Okay, we can't help it. Yes. So basically, Mr. Immortal finally tells us why he's going through his divorce. So he said, "Listen, I'm a good guy," which,
if you have to tell somebody that, that's not true.
Thank you. That immediately in my stomach was like, oh no, this is going to be bad. This is all bad. And he says, but listen, things go stale. And I don't want to tell someone that I find you emotionally suffocating and that your PJs are weird.
That was a laugh out loud moment. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's hilarious.
And I get that, right? Like if you sometimes get comfortable in your marriage. Maybe your PJs aren't as cute anymore. I get it. But, you know, instead of being a mature, how many ever year old man this is, because he's literally immortal. Instead, he literally tries to kill himself, unalive himself. Y'all, you heard me right. Instead of having to have a conversation.
Hilarious.
What the hell?
And I love just Mallory and Nikki just totally roasting him about it. As you should.
Oh, they go in on his ass. It's all bad. He's just like, I thought lawyers were supposed to be less judgy. And they were like, and Mallory, you see, right, is like, okay, I can see how hard that is. She's trying to be professional. And Nikki just can't. Nikki said, absolutely not. Which causes him to jump out of the window.
I mean, like, it was so over the top. Because, like, he could have just, like, literally left out of the door. But he just decided to, like, jump out the window.
I mean, I definitely saw it coming. I was like, he's going to jump out because he can't handle conflict. And that was the whole point of this.
Yeah.
So I was, like, waiting for it. And then when he does it, it's so funny. And also clever, right? Like, I like this whole bit. It was so well. And I can't believe Jen didn't get to do this.
Exactly. And I mean, it also just kind of shows he doesn't care about like collateral damage.
Zero.
In anything either. Like he's willing to like jump out the window, destroy a person's car and just get up and leave. Like he's not about taking responsibility for anything. He just doesn't care what he damages or who he hurts.
Yeah. And it's literally the security, I think, of the building that he damages. Like, what are you doing, my guy? This is your lawyer's office.
That was a fun way to like to end the scene and to just like to show how like uncaring he is.
Yeah.
How cavalier he goes through life.
Exactly. And how his lawyers, I think, finally are like, oh, this is what it is. Got it. That makes sense. because then we get into the next scene, which I think has to be one of my favorite scenes of the whole show, because it's Mr. Immortal sitting. And then this whole time I thought it was one person suing him. No, this is, it feels like a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, I think what I came to realize later is that because near the end of the episode, Mallory and Nick, you're looking at the footage from when he jumped out of the window. I think maybe a lot of the wives saw that footage.
and went to find him
that way. I think one of them does like as Mallory asks how they came to find find out, and they're like, oh yeah, we saw a video online. So I think that's probably the video they saw, realized that that was him, and realized what was going on, and contacted Mallory or Nikki or whoever.
Yeah, because turns out Craig, Mr. Immortal, has had many, many, many aliases, and is just out here. I don't know if scamming is the right word, Jason.
Oh, scamming is definitely the right word. I think that's definitely the right word there.
It's giving Tinder swindler.
Yeah. 100%.
Because he has fathered a child with this one. He's been married for 17 years for that one.
He skipped out on like a $75,000 credit card bill.
Yeah. Like, okay, Tinder swindler. You know, like, I can't have it anymore. So they're going to go in on his ass. And I love that Mallory and Nikki are not like, they're just like, yeah, you're going to have to pay.
And I just love like, you know, Mallory's got a smile on her face. She's like, he's like, why are you smiling? He's like, because this is a lot of fun. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying you getting payback.
It's what she deserves.
Yeah.
Right. Literally.
I'm enjoying making sure that you get paid for this crap that you've done.
Yeah, and listen, he's an equal opportunity lover, because I see there's a man as well. So he's equal opportunity, not even lover, equal opportunity swindler, I should say. And then he also, we also get a mention of Intelligentsia here.
Yeah, so for the comic book fans,
yes.
In the comics, Intelligentsia is like kind of this conglomerate of supervillains that are known for their intelligence, hence Intelligentsia. MODOK is in this. The Leader is in this. Interesting. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other like super intellectual supervillains. So that's where the name is in the comics. And by the end of the episode, I think it might be kind of true to form here. So this, you know, as we're introduced to this, this is more of a like a Reddit, a 4chan maybe.
Yeah.
As Mallory put it, a website for man babies.
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
I loved it. And yes, yeah, so now he's getting his comeuppance. They said, no, you have to pay. So then they say, okay, great. He's going to split everything. I think 8 ways or how many of our folks are there. And then someone goes, no, but I have been with him 17 years. Well, someone said, well, I was only with him 3 years, but I had a baby. And then they really tried to Khloe Kardashian her, because they said, well, you should have known better. Why would you have a baby by him? But, you know, everyone has put in emotional, physical, mental labor into this man.
Yeah, so, like I was like, I got some Apple shares back in the 80s and I got some gold like from a long time ago. So I'll just give you guys baroness. All of that. Yeah, from a baroness. So I'll just split that 8 ways. Sound good?
Oh my God, I couldn't stop laughing. And finally, okay, then I didn't know how they were going to do it. And, you know, this piece couldn't take that much time, basically. So what are they going to do? But turns out Nikki is an amazing second in command here, because she's actually sitting on the table and gives a personalized repentance to each person. Which I liked.
I love that, you know, Sebastian is getting reimbursed for his jazz funeral that he threw. She's like, love that, by the way. Like, I love the little sides she throws, yes. Like she throws out there too.
And again, this is exactly what I want from the show, where it's self-contained, as Jen said it, but it was still something you know, you remember it. You're just like, yeah, that time Nikki brokered this crazy deal with like 8 people. Or 8 partners is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, and that's some of the best. Those are some of the best story arcs in the comics too, where they deal with these like kind of these law problems that are associated with superpowers, and that's like the fun that you never even think of something like this, where it's
exactly.
Like so deep. Like, oh, what if a guy that's just immortal is just been? What about all the relationships that he's had throughout his life and how he like deals with those relationships, how he gets out of relationships? He's lived forever, and what kind of like. You know, disaster he leaves in his wake. Like, you would never think of that. And for the show to come out with that is a really fun and really, like, really fresh idea, I think.
120%. That's why I this whole piece was my favorite. Like, all of it. So then finally, Nikki helps everyone feel better. I love the 22nd, or he's at first, Nikki says, you know, you get an apology and a 15 second eye contact. And of course, Mr. Immortal starts to shit. So,
and then she ups it 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, she ups it 5 seconds. That was hilarious. She's like, okay, is that the best we can do? She's like, I'll make that 20 seconds.
I loved it. There's also an Indian woman. I was like, okay. Okay, diversity.
Listen, for all of Craig's faults, he's a very he has a very diverse portfolio of lovers.
Yeah, he doesn't have a type. He said, I ain't got a type. Bad bitches only. I get it. And then they're all, you know, and I love that the sight of like Mallory and Mr. Mortal sitting in the back, right, while Nikki gets to do this, because this is another space where we are really seeing Mallory help, you know, someone else shine. And I think that's what makes Mallory such a good lawyer.
Yeah. Like she's kind of just sitting back and letting Nikki handle it, because she recognizes that Nikki can do more than she's been doing.
Exactly.
Which, you know, is part of what, like, maybe Nikki, this weirdly makes Nikki question her relationship with Jen and say, like, I could be doing more. Like, why am I doing this? Not redoing this on a regular basis. I don't know. I don't know if that's something that's going to, you know, spring anything else in later episodes, but it was a really interesting dynamic between Mallory and Nikki, with Mallory letting Nikki take some of the, like, some of the direction here.
All right. So we're getting a lot of this, like, really great conversation now between Mallory and Jen, between Mallory and Nikki. Sorry. I want it to be Mallory and Jen. That's why I have that in my notes.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really great to see, I think, two women that are so powerful just talking about a job well done.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how Mallory is acting with Nikki in this scene, opposed to how Mallory is acting with Jen in the episode before. So I wonder where that difference is for Mallory, like why she doesn't treat Jen the same way she's treating Nikki right now.
I mean, that's not my question the whole episode, but it's also, I wonder if it's because there's a power differential, right? Where Mallory sees Nikki as like, here's someone I can mentor, versus I think she believes that Jen should just already get it.
I think if this was like a regular law procedural show, like we would find Mallory trying to like steal Nikki away from Jen.
Yes.
But I don't know if this is that show, and I don't know if we have enough time to do that. We have 3 episodes left of the season, so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Unfortunately, it's not happening. So then this is where we get to know a little bit more about Mallory. We're hearing that, you know, she actually has been married for 11 years.
Yeah, she's been married for 11 years. She has a kid. This is very different from the Mallory from the comics, who was a single woman who had, as far as I can remember, had no kids.
Got it.
Is a little bit of a different interpretation of Mallory than the comic books.
Yeah. And then, you know, they're just talking a little bit more. And then they finally were like, let's check out the site again. And they're looking at it. At first, it feels like funny, haha, a little. And then they look on the side, which seems to be where all the juice is anyway in She-Hulk. And they find a slutty She-Hulk page.
Yeah. I paused on the webpage. I didn't find anything really like fun.
Yeah,
as opposed to the last time we were on a web page. But yeah, we see this like I thought at first it was like a video, like, and I thought it was gonna be like some video from the wedding or something, but it just seems to be like them shit posting about She-Hulk.
Yeah, because it's, and it seems like it's password protected, which is where we get a little bit of like funny, because Nikki's password is literally all the hateful things men have said to her that I guess she remembers so well. And her bio is She-Hulk _ suck.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of this seems to be spurned on by this user with the name Hulk King.
Yes. And also, did you notice, I don't know if you did, because this is where I paused. I actually didn't end up pausing on the first one, where she says her interest is Bigfoot, Bitcoin, USA exercise, protein, and UFOs.
Well, listen, she's got to make it believable. And I think for a site like this, that would be, you know, that would be what these people are interested in. Like, you know, they're a very certain type of people.
Yeah. In my mind, I was like, but I want to know about Bigfoot, too. And then I love that. I think in her little bio, she talks about elk hunting, which I'm pretty sure is a Joe Rogan jab. But either way, hilarious. I loved it. And then, yeah, Jason, like you said, shit posting, the whole site was giving incel, where yes. they had stupid sexist memes. And then, you know, at first it was like, okay, they just like don't like She-Hulk. And then it goes into darkness where it's like 8 reasons why She-Hulk or She Sucks should die, blah, blah, blah. Or why she sucks, and then blah blah blah, and then it ends with how do we, or that's where they pause it, it's like how do we kill She-Hulk.
Yeah, so it's getting pretty dark on that website there. It reminded me, not to switch companies, but it kind of reminded me of the Riddler, like in the Batman movie.
Yeah,
how like the Riddler was like kind of inciting this anti whatever against the establishment, where he's like inciting people to commit this violence against in the bad movies against like the establishment, but here it's exactly. against She-Hulk.
Yeah, very much agreed on that. And it doesn't make sense when there is a powerful woman. Like, unfortunately, sometimes this stuff comes up, so I get it. And I was very confused by this, like what was going on? Why is there so much hate? Because she's not even fighting crime like that. You know what I mean? She's just existing.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, I guess it's from her getting a larger profile from the news or whatever. And people being like, you know, we had in one of the previous episodes, like, why is the Hulk gotta be a woman now? And yeah. It's all those type of people. But like you said, it's not like she's being featured on the news every night. Like, she's not doing all this stuff out in the open a lot. She's just kind of living her regular life. So like you said, it is a little odd that they're that like obsessed with her.
Yeah. And I also understand a woman is just, unfortunately, sometimes there is a lot of hate that just comes your way. So like, yeah. And here's also another thing. Do you remember, Jason? I don't know if you do, where this is a long time ago, where there was a woman. I think she was into gaming, a gaming developer, some version of that. And all these men were like, just like it, like be doing incel behavior, and were, you know, just like horrible death threats, like assault, you know, sexually, all of it. Okay. And she finds them, their addresses, and starts sending everything they said to their moms.
Wow.
And this happened in real life.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but that sounds like sweet, sweet justice to me.
Yeah. So, and then she starts like posting everything that she sent and did. And it's just, it was so good. You're just like, that, it's what they deserve. And then turns out half of them were living with their moms, because, you know, she didn't dox them, even though they were threatening to dox her. But she was just like, this person said all these things to me, and then I tried to send it to their mom, and turns out they live at the same address. And so she just like dragged all of them.
Sweet, sweet justice.
Yeah. So that's what this piece, like, I was waiting, you know, I was like, give me some of that. Give me some good stuff. Like you said, definitely, justice.
Yeah. Definitely sounds like something Nikki would do.
That part. And Mallory, you know, says, listen, we don't need to tell Jen because it's just trolls. But Nikki was like, I think I want to tell her. So I would err on telling my friend, because I feel like she needs to be safe.
Of course. I mean, even if it's not a real threat, like, they should know. Like, hey, just be aware.
Yeah. And I don't think you need to go into details even, but like, just to be like, there's like weird sites coming up around you. Just be aware when you're alone. Maybe just be in She-Hulk form. When you're alone.
I did really enjoy like Mallory saying that, like, hey, yeah, we don't need to tell her, it'll be better off. And he's like, yeah, I get it, you're right. And then like the very next thing, he's like, hey, so
I know, and happening. She's like going off. Okay. Oh God, I loved it. And she just like is downloading everything, and then we're waiting for, you know, Jen's response. No, turns out Nikki's leaving all of this on a voicemail.
Womp womp. Yeah, I mean, and then like it converges where like we see, like we talked about, Jen and Josh sharing a plate of fries, as I guess this is as Nikki's leaving the voicemail, and then we get the pan out into somebody looking at Josh and Jen, and we get the scene we talked about with the syringe and Hulk King, who we, you know, identified earlier as a person like, you know, inciting a lot of these posts. Is messaging to someone in this like laboratory, are we ready for the next phase of the plan? So, I mean, this is obviously the big bad that we've been building up to, mm-hmm. whether it be Todd, whether it be, which I feel like is more and more, I'm feeling more and more evident that it's maybe the leader, because this is the way the leader communicated in The Incredible Hulk. He communicated with Bruce through like internet messaging. So that could be a nice callback to the leader here. So that's giving me more proof, more evidence that it may be the leader, especially knowing that he's coming up in Captain America 4. Like my theory just went like through the roof once I found out that he's actually coming back in another MCU property. So this could be something like to reintroduce him. And I was thinking about like Titania and like the fact that she's so embarrassed now, what could come of that?
Oh, like, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So is she going to like end up partnering with like the intelligentsia to get maybe even more superpowered so that she can actually fight Jen? Because I mean, she's been beat by Jen twice now in a physical combat. So I wouldn't be surprised if those two storylines kind of converged and they like, you know, partnered with Titania to take on She-Hulk and maybe even try and beat her with once they can superpower Titania to try and get Jen's blood, to try and take her on, get her blood, actually beat her this time, maybe beef Titania up a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because I think currently it doesn't make sense for it to be Titania, because just how easily she's getting beat or like slip, you know, or how she's getting beat by the floor. Because she's slipping and losing. It's not even anything specifically Jen did at the wedding. So it has to be, I believe, a version of Titania might be the pawn.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. That they juice up Titania with whatever they're gonna get.
Yeah.
Whether or not they get Jen's blood another way and use that to maybe Hulk up Titania, you know, some sort of way. I think Titania and the intelligentsia are to come together to try and defeat Jen. I think that would make a lot of sense to me.
Yes, big agree. Let's see what happens and tell us your theories too, y'all. Because I feel like they can go a few ways and. I'm excited to see which way they go, because does this also mean we're going to get like Hulks, many Hulk, like Red Hulk? Are they all coming? That's my question as well.
Yeah. We could definitely be coming into that territory at some point. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, the fact that what we've seen them do with Hulk technology in this show, maybe I hope kind of not, maybe save that for the movie where we have more money for the CGI budget. But yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to happen here, because I don't think Titania, I don't think this is the last we've seen at Titania, because she's been, you know, very embarrassed by Jen twice now. And I think she's going to still want to get her revenge.
Agreed. Because this is a character they've built up, you know, but we haven't gotten a much of her backstory yet, but maybe that's on purpose now. We're thinking.
And this Titania is very different from the Titania in the comics. Mm-hmm. The Titania in the comics is more rough and tumble, is more like she's not really an influencer at all. She's just more of she's like a criminal, superpower criminal, basically. So yeah, it's interesting to see what they've done with her in the show. You almost could have made Titania, like you could have given Titania the Madison name, and that would have made more sense for who Titania is. But yeah, this is the Titania. This isn't your grandma's Titania. Let me just say that.
Oh, that's so true. I'm excited. I still am. Where I know maybe at the start I was a little more down on all of it, but I do believe that the B story was so great. All the supporting characters are amazing. That it's going to end well. I do think that.
Oh yeah, I'm excited to see where it wraps up, where it ends up. I am intrigued by the mystery of the intelligentsia, who's behind it, and what's going to come of that. I think having only three episodes to do it in, three very, which are typically short episodes, is going to be interesting. I hope it's not all rushed and crammed into those three episodes, especially considering we still have the Daredevil of it all to deal with. So we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah. Let's see, y'all. You know, we're still holding our breath for Daredevil, but at this point, my question is he going to come at the final episode? Because I don't understand why he would come for episode 7.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's hard to really predict, because the show's been so unpredictable in that way. Like, we think we're going to get something, then we get something else. in that episode. Like, we all thought we were going to get Daredevil this episode, but we didn't. We'll see what happens. I hope that the finale of the show is not taken over by Daredevil. I would like the finale to be all She-Hulk, you know, really coming into her own, because we haven't gotten it yet. I just realized that's what I want. I don't want it to be taken over by another cameo, as the first like four episodes kind of were.
Yeah, that's true too. And I've been yelling about Jen being center. Oh my God. Okay, maybe he'll come episode 8, because I don't know why he would be at there for 7, because we still don't have Leapfrog, right? So
yeah, we still have to have that. Yeah, that's another thing. So yeah, interesting to see how they're gonna wrap this up. We have only 3 episodes left. Got a lot to do.
But listen, Jason and I will be here to wrap it all up, y'all, because as this episode is ending for Just Jen, we are hoping that Just Jen gets a lot more of the fun that's happening around her. And for feedback, comments, questions, for everything, make sure you're either writing to us on Discord, which means you need to be a patron to do so, and you're letting us know on Twitter at Pusha Recaps as well. Jason, anything else from the show that we need to talk about?
No, I think we got it all. Like I said, I'm excited to see what's coming up.
Perfect. And make sure before we get to Jason's plugs, y'all are subscribing, you're rating and reviewing us as well. It really helps. So we know that folks are out there listening. 5 stars only, y'all, please. You know, that's what we need. That's what we desire. And with that, Jason, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. I got some things going on right now here on this network post-show recaps. I am covering Cobra Kai with Marissa Garza. We're having a lot of fun talking about that show, so check us out there. Also, over on the Rob Has Podcast for Hap-Ups Network, I am doing the show A Perfect Match, where my co-host Asia Welch and I cover the show Married at First Sight. Also having fun there. Two very different shows covering there, the Cobra Kai and the Married at First Sight. I'm multifaceted, as they say. Mm-hmm. So we are having a blast over there talking about these crazy people in these relationships that are getting married without knowing each other. All the nonsense and mess that comes with that. How about you, Sasha?
Same for me. As always, I'm over at Mess Magnets on Rob Has a Podcast, where we're talking all the mess. I missed this episode, but check out Kirsten and Tori, where, you know, where they got into the Adam Levine of it all. And I'll be back next week. In addition to that, of course, even though it's paused for now, but next week, Never Have I Ever will be back with Chappelle. And The Amazing Race is here. So I'll be covering that over on Silent Podcast as well. And I guested on Crime Scene, where we talked about Indian Predator. So, you know, they said gore, they said India. Of course, I had to show up. So check out Crime Scene over on Rob Has a Podcast as well. And they have their own own feed as well, called Crime Scene, S-E-E-N. And I'll be over on the B&B with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris for, I believe, the opening, where we'll be checking into the Survivor B&B. The Mess Magnet will be there, baby. So I can't wait. And if you can't keep track of it all, just check me out on Twitter at FunSize04 to know everything I'm up to. Thank you, everyone, for listening.